The Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. It takes a certain kind of brave to run a business. We see it, we back it.
Well, finally this morning, it looks like the tie might be a thing of the past. It doesn't lend itself very well to working from home. And to make matters worse, there's strong evidence that they're potential germ carriers. So could this spell the end of the line for the tie? We asked the dapper fashion designer Peter O'Brien for his thoughts on the death of the tie.
The necktie is dead, or if not actually dead, it's dying. So say the countless articles which have been for some time popping up in my newsfeed. It would seem that along with dressing for dinner, polishing one's shoes, and leaving visiting cards, the wearing of a necktie is a practice whose days are numbered. I have lived a relatively tie-free existence for the past 40 years, not because of any rebellious instincts on my part, but more because of my chosen career path. A life spent at art school, in fashion and theatre, was really a life free of dress codes. Of course, in a sense, there are always dress codes. Always. At every social strata, in every corner of the planet. Codes more complex and secret than a dossier from Bletchley Park.
They plan to send their messages under cover of darkness. So keep a lookout for such sneaks.
College years were spent in Levi's 501s.
Levi's 501 blues.
Worn with check shirts. Then in Paris in the early 80s, my uniform for life was chosen and frozen in time.
C'est la collection surprise.
Trouser and shoulder widths may have fluctuated, waistlines risen and dropped, but like Georgia O'Keeffe, the most stylish human who ever lived, my ensemble of choice was always a black suit and a white shirt.
Oh, suit you, sir.
There was a moment in the early 90s when I dabbled with Prince of Wales suits and Hermes ties and braces. But I suspect I looked more like a shady used car salesman from an Ealing comedy rather than the picture of an exquisite dandy that I foolishly imagined I was presenting.
Room!
To us folk who worked in fashion, ties seemed to belong to the stuffed shirt accountants and bankers and management with whom we so often did battle.
You are 6 minutes late. There's an accounting firm. Not a country club. You can't come and go as you please.
Yes, Mr. Marks.
That eternal battle between the creative teams and the business teams, the tie was worn by the enemy.
And I am a CPA, a certified public accountant.
With ever-increasing changes in social mores, with identity politics, gender equality, and an increase in working remotely, dress codes can sometimes be seen as an infringement of human rights, and notions of being appropriately or formally dressed are seen at best as archaic and at worst as a type of dictatorship.
You go to your closet and you select, I don't know, that lumpy blue sweater, for instance, because you're trying to tell the world that you take yourself too seriously to care about what you put on your back.
In this, the age of the individual, the necktie can seem like a symbol of the dreaded patriarchy and, at the same time, an ancient object of torture for the wearer, anachronistic to the cool, bearded young men who work in offices replete with beanbags, baristas and gymnasiums. Nothing is ever quite as it seems in the world of fashion. More and more cool young men can be seen wearing Roger Casement haircuts, tweed suits, and very often ties. Worn not as an attempt to fit in with the establishment, but quite the opposite. A snub to those middle-aged politicians, frequently grabbing a photo opportunity, looking effortfully casual, wearing their shirts open at the neck and beaming uncomfortably into the camera, sweaty and ill at ease and about as uncool as is possible, Obama being the exception.
10 minutes before we were about to go on stage, we were still having an argument about ties. I had bought 5-6 ties. Michelle didn't like any of them.
Fashion has a trick of sneaking up behind us when we least expect it. For the past few months, I've been working from home, usually dressed in a sweater and, I'm ashamed to say, sweatpants. And you know what? it really doesn't feel like liberation. Yes, there is a kind of democratization in dressing this way, but the wonderful rituals of dressing formally are an essential part of the human experience. From Proust to James Lever to Vita Sackville-West, writers have penned chapters on dress and its subtle power to send out the conscious and unconscious messages we wish to transmit to the world at large. After 3 months of sweat-panted lockdown, I long to wear a suit. A fine cotton shirt and a beautiful tie from Savile Row. I wouldn't find it remotely repressive, although the ever-increasing chins may well be a little put out. After all, the ritual of dressing in a handmade tux, a proper bias-cut bow tie, is in the oddest way joyful. A kind of joy I have never felt in sweatpants. In a world where people eat hot food in cinemas, to me the absolute end of civilization, comb their hair on public transport and wear gym clothes to the theatre, I guess there is little hope for the tie. And yet, as the great Honoré de Balzac said, carelessness in dress is moral suicide. And who am I to disagree with the great Balzac? Long live the tie, say I.
Peter O'Brien there.